Just changing the subject slightly, did you have any involvement with the trade unions at all?
When I was in the estimating, yes, I did. I was I acted as the rep in estimating and attended some of the meetings. Quite an interesting time because you saw a bit more of an insight into where the way some of the decisions were made regarding pay and pensions, and being involved at that time was very useful. I did retain a lot of the records, but I've tried to turn them up, but I haven't had too much success at the moment. But some of the people involved, particularly Mike Forty, sticks in my mind. He chaired the reps, and we travelled down to Bristol on one occasion to a meeting. We got ourselves into a bit of hot water because we didn't come back when we should have come back, and got hauled in front of, I think it was Mr. Spooner at the time, who wasn't exactly very pleased with us, but we were able to sort it out in the end, and everybody made friends again.
We've talked a little bit about fishing during your apprenticeship years, Peter. Did you continue your fishing exploits?
I continued my fishing exploits, all right. I got myself involved with the local angling association as well, and I became a treasurer of Gloucester United Anglers. So I got myself really into the thick of it, but it was a busy time trying to be working alongside some of the other people that were running the main association, and eventually Fieldings managed to find some water of their own, and through a contact with one of the directors, Mr. Jack Baker, who had a share in the lease of some salmon fishing on the Wye, Fieldings were able to acquire some coarse fishing. As long as we fished when the salmon fishing season wasn't operating, we were able to travel up to a place called Rotherwas on the River Wye and had some very lucrative fishing trips, lots of fish, very very good water, and some large bags of fish were obtained by one and all.
There must have been, I'm sure, been a load of anglers. Some amusing incidents. Can you recall any at the moment, Peter?
Yeah, there were one or two rather amusing in the early days when we travelled to some of the fishing venues. We used the local buses. We could hire one, and I remember on one occasion when the bus arrived, we loaded up and off we went, and we all thought it was rather a bit of a bone shaker, but as we attempted to go up over Birdlip, I'm afraid the bus let us down and boiled over, and we couldn't go on, so they had to ring up and get a replacement bus, and we had to all unload one bus and reload the replacement. That was one incident which sticks in my mind, because there was steam lots of noise from the engine, so I think that bus must have had its day. There was another incident when we were on the Bristol Avon fishing, and everybody had packed up at the time after we'd all weighed in and returned to wait for the bus for the trip back, and we were missing one person. And the chap that we were missing was Stan Wood. He hadn't heard the whistle, He was still fishing. And of course, it came a bit of a surprise that everybody were quite worried about him. We thought he'd fell in or something silly, but he was quite happy. But I don't know whether he weighed in the end. He'd had his day out and just got lost in his fishing.
Wonderful. I see you've got a few photographs around those fishing days, Peter. Any particular one you'd like to mention? There looks like some prize giving going on here.
We used to make sure that at the end of the season we all got together, and on this particular occasion we were at the Midland Hotel and we had a sit down slap up dinner, and everybody turned out. And looking at the photographs now, it amazes me how smart everybody looked, because I was used to seeing them in all their fishing gear. But there's lots of old faces, people like Ernie Gill and Joe Pinkney and Bill Norton. Some of the management used to come along and present the prizes, and the main supporter was Roy Pegler. He supported the angling club, and I've got a picture here of him making a presentation to Arthur Rigby, carefully watched by the then chairman, Bert Ely. But everybody seemed to have a damn good time, and I'm grateful for the person who took the pictures, because I think it was Brian Billingham who took all the photographs, and there's a whole group of them stood here in the Midland Hotel. I think they've got beer in their hand, I'm not sure, but I think they're all enjoying themselves.
I'm sure it wasn't lemonade. Anyway, I can see another picture here, Peter. You've got a nice, it looks as if you're receiving a prize.
Oh, I did occasionally manage to scrape in and receive a prize, and those days when things were organised so that you could all get together socially, because really the fishing club, it wasn't only the competitiveness. It was a trip out. It was a social activity, and a lot of the guys, after spending the week in the factory, it perhaps was their only opportunity to get a trip out on the bus and relax a little and enjoy the open air. I certainly found it beneficial. It was to be able to have the day out. It refreshed you, and you were able to put your mind to your work a lot more successfully than side of it.
Yeah, very good, very good. Just digressing a moment, I understand that conveyed some of your angling expertise in another direction. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I got involved with running some competitions for disabled anglers, mainly through the local association. We managed to obtain a venue which was safe with people with wheelchairs, and we ran an annual fishing competition with Tewkesbury Disabled Day. So we ran these matches for several years, and they were quite successful, supported by the local angling the local shops. We were able to obtain quite a few prizes for free, and everybody had something to take away with them.
Okay, wonderful. Very commendable, Peter. Right, back to Fielding and Platt. Generally, would you say Fielding and Platt were a good company to work for?
They were, as a company, to have the experience of working in the heavy engineering field is probably they were unique. Certainly in the Gloucester area, I don't say that they were overgivish with their salaries. They everything that people got, they fought for and worked for. Being a family run concern, it was to start with. This pay was not exactly wonderful. I think I remember starting on at Fieldings on about 37 and 6 pence a week as an apprentice. One big event for me was when I was getting more than £1,000 a year, but that was some years after I'd joined as an apprentice. I think that was in the estimating department when we rose to those dizzy heights.
Okay, thank you. What about, so you mentioned the management, what about all the workforce around you? Were they a good gang to be with?
They were exceptional, both in the planning and the estimating department. The general banter that circulated in the office seemed to keep everybody buoyant, and when there was lots of work to do and there were deadlines to meet, everybody worked hard, applied themselves, and it was all achieved in good heart. But I had to put up with quite a bit of kidding and leg pull, being the younger member of the office. But it was all in good. It was all in good faith, and I think we were all. I was a better person for it, of being able to put up with all the remarks that were flying around at the time.
Wonderful. Looking back, what would you say would be your fondest memories?
This is a difficult question. Fondest. I just think that it was the camaraderie that kept a company running in quite some difficult times, but you could always rely on the guy next to you. No one ever let you down, and if you were stuck for some reason, maybe transport or maybe you're a bit short this week, there was never a time when anybody would let you go wanting. You were looked after. You were advised. I think I was treated as like both in the planning and the estimating as a younger member of the team. I think I had about four or five fathers, because I was looked after, helped along the way, and advised. Something that you can't buy. It's not that there was this very unusual family orientated atmosphere that supported everyone and anyone.
Absolutely wonderful. Pity there's a lot more people in a position that they could say similar words, Peter. Right. When and under what circumstances did your life at Fieldings come to an end?
I'd always had leanings towards working with people with disabilities, and at one stage investigated what there was in the engineering workshop type employment within the county council, and I eventually applied for a job in a sheltered workshop as an instructor. So I was successful on, and in 1982 I left Fielding and Platt and joined the county council as an instructor in one of these sheltered workshops in Cheltenham at Prestbury, and started a second career working with a different group of people, where I remained for some years until I moved to a residential unit in Gloucester and retired about 7 years ago.
Thank you very much, Peter. Well, that's it. Wonderful memories. Well, on behalf of Brian and myself, I'd like to thank you very much for having the pleasure of interviewing you, and thank you very much for your hospitality.